by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome into Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. It has been a very interesting spring. We're already halfway through May and really pushing for the summer to get here. And that means that the deadline is approaching to get your applications in for your hunting licenses for 2025. Janet Millick, it's that time.
It is that time. And such a crazy thought process to think here we are almost the beginning of summer. School's getting out here, you know, in a couple of days. So we want to make sure that folks are reminded of the application deadline so that we can have a lot of fun this fall and get outside with family and friends and enjoy Wyoming's wildlife.
Yeah, this year is going to be, well, pretty interesting. There's a lot of things that'll be happening that maybe wouldn't happen in the past and things that aren't happening that maybe were happening in the past. So it really has been a beneficial year in some aspects.
You know, I hope that I know what you're talking about with all the ins and outs of that very cryptic message, Drew. But, you know, it was a very interesting season setting process for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department this year. We had some on the ground managers who were very proactive this year and really trying to listen to the public ahead of time and really trying to make some changes and some very different changes as far as things that hadn't ever been done before in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of managing wildlife. And due to maybe lack of communication on our part in getting some of that messaging out to some folks, we had some folks that maybe weren't very happy with us. And so we made some changes. And so we want to make sure that as we get ready for the application period, people know some of the really fantastic things about the apply or buy electronic licensing application system and that they know all of the withdraw or modify deadlines.
It really is important to stay up on all the information. So Brandon Werner is in with us this week to kind of give us a rundown of maybe some things that you know, people definitely need to know. And Brandon, I know you've been extremely busy this year and last year, and a lot of things have developed over the year.
Right, but now the weight's lifted off my shoulders now that the commission approved or modified some of our recommendations. It's a really good feeling. So it's really important for the public to go onto our regulations tab. They can go and look at deer, elk, antelope, look at those seasons and see if they changed from last year to this year, because there was some changes, particularly in elk. I'm sure a lot of public knew about Area 7 with what we proposed. Ultimately, that didn't go through. So the type 1s and 2s will be very similar to last year. I guess they'll be exactly the same as last year, but there will be some changes on the type 6s and 8 licenses. So make sure you look at those. And then Area 23 for elk had pretty significant changes. We implemented a type 9. So if that's an area you're thinking of putting in, please check the regulations.
All right. And obviously you can get those at wgfd.wyo.gov. You know, we have talked about how, you know, the herds have been dwindling in some of these species over the last few years. And have they made a rebound at all to where maybe there'll be more licenses in certain areas that license numbers were down?
Yeah, for sure. So across the state this year, we've seen really high fawn production in antelope and deer in most of the areas. And then with this mild winter we had, the collared critters had really high survival. So with kind of those two things, we did add some licenses in certain areas, but they're really specific. So make sure if it's an area that you're looking to apply that you go in to see if anything's changed.
So when is the actual cutoff of getting your application in?
So June 2nd at midnight is the deadline. But say if you already applied and you're like, hey, there was a change made by the commission, but from a recommendation from the department, you can still go on and modify your application up to that June 2nd. And that's for deer, elk, and antelope.
And so a lot of what Brandon is talking about right there is, you know, we talk a lot on the show about how the season setting process is a year round process. So the way we kind of look at those regulations is we have what we did last year. We listen to the public, we do all of our data collection and analysis, and we come back with population information, right? So then we kind of look at, oh, here's some things that we can do, whether it's changing the opening date, whether it's changing the number of licenses, all of these things. And sometimes that information comes out in March, right? But the application period opens up in January. And so that can be kind of tricky because people can look at the information from last year and they can be like, hey, buddy, come on out. We're going to hunt these dates for these species. Let's put in here. And they kind of make plans before the final information is maybe approved by the commission, which happens in April. And it did happen this year, mid-April. And so some of the stuff that happened with the elk openers is Brandon and his team had proposed maybe an earlier elk opening. We started with October 1, then we ended at October 5. And at that commission meeting, it was pushed back to October 15th. And so it is the same process, but we had a lot of public come into that meeting that had already applied based on thinking it was the October deadline. And so they were kind of, or the October 15th opening season, excuse me. So they had been very confused and concerned about what they needed to do if it's, you know, changed. So that's where the fantastic information about the modify or withdraw comes in. So if you did apply and things have changed, like Brandon was talking about, you know, numbers change, dates change, and it doesn't work out for you now, and maybe you want to go to a different area, you can still do that. It's a super fantastic system that we've set up to allow for all of that season setting information to be approved by the commission and for the public still to have access into that.
It's really kind of interesting, you know, me being here for a few years now, and a few years ago was pretty green and not really sure what I needed to do or have before the season, you know, the application process was completed. And Brandon, can we run down some of the things that people need to be aware of? Because I know that a lot of people are moving in and maybe haven't ever gone out hunting and maybe want to take it up this year. What are some tips and tricks of things they need to have before they can get that application?
Yeah, I would say it's really important to, like, if you're wanting to hunt this next year, to look at draw odds. Like, if this is an area you really want to go to, but the draw odds are super low, just know you might not get that license. But it's also interesting, too, to look at harvest statistics from the past year. If harvest was really high, I mean, there's a chance we put in more licenses. But even if we didn't, there's a really good chance that you're going to have pretty good success out there. But really looking into, like, when those season dates are, when the quotas, draw odds, harvest success, it's just a big combination to really plan your hunt really well.
Which, you know, and the Hunt Planner is a great opportunity to do that. You go to the wgfd.wild.gov and the information is right there in front of you to be able to, you know, kind of help your process along. And I know that your boots on the ground all over the Casper region and really, you know, doing research a lot. And does it look pretty confident for this year of it being pretty successful for a lot of people?
Yeah, so antelope in the Casper region is going to be really good this year. We're either above objective, at objective, or slightly below in all of our herds around here. We added some opportunity where we had it. Deer is going to be pretty similar to last year. We did see good fawn production last year, but on the downside, we still have way less deer than we would like in the region. Elk, on the other hand, man, if you have a bull license around, we had really good success last year. We're anticipating that this year. We're way over objective with how many elk we have. Cow hunting can be kind of difficult in central Wyoming, but things are looking good for this next year.
So one of the things that I think is really important as people get ready to apply, you know, Brandon talked a lot about the draw odds and making sure that you you know, are kind of following, you know, what your chances are of getting a license, so on and so forth. And again, it has been a really good winter. And so we are, numbers are looking up. But the other thing to be thinking about is access. And that is kind of a big thing that a lot of people kind of forget about, because we all get excited. We're like, oh, you know, we love to hunt the Sweetwater Rocks. This is where we go. This is our area. Boom, I'm putting in. Without recognizing that things may have changed in the last year as far as land ownership, maybe withdraw, or also new access, which is super fantastic. But before you put in, you want to make sure that you have access and written permission from a landowner so that you can use your license, because that's one of the most frustrating things that happens. I think particularly in the eastern part of the state, where there's a lot of private land and some fantastic antelope hunts, is people look at these numbers, they see fantastic draw odds, or they see leftover licenses that they go to purchase. They go in to the system, they get it, and then comes hunting season, and they recognize that that private land is not accessible for their hunt. So please make sure, and there are so many tools out there now, you know, Onyx, all of those things, and Onyx is really up in their game right now with a lot of the application information that they're putting on their web app, whatever you call that technical stuff, that really shows some of that. So make sure that you spend your time, and that if you do plan to hunt on private land or wherever you are, that you do have that permission, and that information is available on Onyx.
And just to piggyback off that, like particularly with antelope, typically the easier draw is the more private land in the hunt area. So areas that have more public land are typically harder draw. So just keep that in mind.
Well, as we are approaching the end of application season, it is important. You know, we always preach to be prepared, have all the stuff that you need, and really just cross off every item on your list before you even make that application process.
Absolutely. And Drew, as we all know, so many of us live in Wyoming for the fall season, and it is the most fantastic weather. It's the most fantastic experience. And, you know, hunting really provides, and fishing really provide, a fantastic opportunity for us to get out with our families and our kids, and just really encourage everyone to have a fantastic fall, and reach out to us at any time if you need assistance or help or guidance in this application process. And we're always here to help. And especially on that June 2nd deadline, just know we have a line out the door, but we're always here to help. And we hope that everyone can enjoy, you know, the fantastic fall and Wyoming's wildlife with us.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And Brian, here in a little bit, we're going to talk the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, where last week was the first round and went great, 135 boats. And, you know, we got you and Mitch on, and we'll kind of recap that. But I think all in all, it was a great weekend, and maybe the best weekend weather-wise we'll have.
Yeah, I tell you what, for the month of May, this was phenomenal. I mean, it was, you know, just, it was really just perfect. Just a light breeze, sunny days. There wasn't a cloud in the sky on Saturday. Sunday, we had a little bit of cloud cover, but it was just perfect fishing weather, and it was a great weekend.
Yep, and we'll again recap that here in just a little bit. But as we were there on the water, I noticed there were a lot of guys that were, you know, going through a lot of their equipment on a weekend like that, because that's hard fishing for two straight days, and they've already been out there fishing for the week.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, and you know, we always talk about being prepared, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and fortunately, like on the weather side of things, we didn't have to worry about rain gear and that kind of stuff this weekend. But you know, having your fishing equipment up to snuff, you know, whether you know you've got a backup reel, whether you've spooled your lines properly as to, you know, what techniques of fishing you're going to be using. You know, guys, especially down at Glendale, do a lot of jig fishing, and, you know, do I have enough jigs, you know? I mean, do I have the right jigs?
We were sitting, and I was on a way boat with Tony Kaiser this time, and we got to sit and watch some guys that were fishing in the same spot for a long time, and there's a lot of casting going on, and really, if you don't have your reels tip-top shape and your stuff in order, boy, you could be in trouble out there.
Yeah, I mean, most of us have more than one rod and reel in the boat, so that, I mean, it might just be a change on the fly type of deal. But yeah, there's, you know, a lot of different presentations being ran this time of year, especially. You know, we're seeing everything from a jig and a minnow, jig and a leech, jig and a worm, to pitching jigs with plastic. And then, of course, we've even got the random guys that are pulling worm harnesses or trolling crankbaits or pitching crankbaits, pitching jerkbaits. I mean, there's just a lot of different types of presentations that a person can run and still catch fish this time of year.
And the best part about Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is everything you just mentioned, you can get the equipment and the bait right here. You guys carry the live bait. You're always getting the minnows, and leeches are now in, and worms are always in stock.
Yeah, we've got a live bait is stocked up really well, and it will be for the rest of the season. The leeches are finally available, so that's awesome. You know, the nice part about Rocky Mountain is that we're able to customize our store merchandise based on the type of fishing and the fish that we have in the area. So you're not going to walk in here and see a bunch of, lures for northern pike and for bass fishing. I mean, we're going to have something that might get you by, but it's not going to be a very big selection because that's just not our market. But if you're going to come in here and you want to ask about walleye fishing, different techniques at Alcova or Pathfinder, Boisen, Keyhole, you know, whatever the case is, we're going to have the gear that you're going to need to take care of that type of fishing.
We're to the point now where Casper and the area are going to see a lot of people coming in, vacations and spending a week here. And they'll want to do maybe multiple types of fishing, go to the river, then go to Alcova or wherever. And when they come into Rocky Mountain, you can get them set up because it's a lot of work to, you know, fly here and carry all your stuff. And why not just come in and get it here?
Yeah, and it's really amazing. Just one of the things that we sell a lot of this time of year is just the packable rods, you know, whether, you know, it's something that can fit in a luggage container or behind the back seat of a work truck, wink, wink, or just in a backpack if you're going to, you know, go on a high mountain hike and you want to have a rod with you. But those pack rods, I mean, there's a lot of different versions of those. And one of the companies that we just started carrying this year that I've seen a lot of advertising through the internet and Facebook and that kind of stuff is from the company called Proficiency. And they've got some really radical colors, different designs, and a lot of different rod and reel options. So if you haven't seen it in person, but maybe you've seen it online, come into the store and check it out because there's a lot of really cool, especially pack rods, and a lot of wild colors for other just regular rods.
When you're heading out on a trip like that and you're taking a pack rod and you want to take, you know, the minimum that you can take, but you need the maximum that you could take at the same time. And what kind of a kit can somebody get to stuff in their baggage and kind of head out with that?
Yeah, you know, normally like that, I just kind of work with a customer on get them like a packable Plano tackle box of some sort, you know, with different compartments in it, and then kind of talk to them about where they're going and what type of fish they're going to be targeting. You know, and we might, if you're going to be looking for trout, you know, we might put some snelled hooks in there, maybe a sinker, some swivels, some split shot, maybe even some Panther Martins, a few MEPs. It wouldn't take much, you know, but we can set you up with a small box that's not going to be taking up too much room, and it's going to be able to, I don't know, hammer out a you know, 10 different presentations probably that should help you catch some fish.
Which obviously you're looking for the quantity and, you know, quality, and that's what you're going to get here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. We talk about that a lot where you're not getting lower level tiered stuff here. It's all stuff that's going to last. You know, the prices will reflect that too.
Yeah, we're going to be as competitive as we can, and especially with any of the big box stores. We always, you know, say that, you know, we'll, you know, for the most part, match any prices on that kind of stuff. Terminal tackle and whatnot, it's inexpensive anyways. If we're going to hook you up with hooks and sinkers and swivels, I mean, we're talking, you know, 50 cents to, you know, a couple bucks, to get you set up on that kind of gear. But we do our best to make sure that we're competitive and that we're going to give you the selection. You know, sometimes, you know, people will say, well, geez, I can get it for 30 cents less over here. Well, if you want to order through Amazon, great. But, you know, I find it a lot of value to support our local businesses, especially even when I go out to eat, when I'm shopping. You know, our local businesses are what fuels our community here. And we're the ones that are supporting our kids' baseball events mm-hmm. and hockey events and soccer fields and that kind of stuff. So there's definitely some value in supporting local because we're going to give back as well.
Well, and that's another great part of Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. It's Wyoming owned and Wyoming operated. So everything is done right here in the state. And, you know, you don't have to rely on somebody and, you know, some other big city to trickle down the information that you need.
Yeah, and we're not spending a whole lot of money on the technology side of things. So, I mean, obviously, like our website and our internet site does okay for our shooting sports. But we carry so many different SKUs of fishing mm-hmm. tackle and clothing and other things that it's very hard for us to maintain or even to even fathom about trying to jump in on that board. And we don't really care about taking care of people out of state. We want to take care of our local community. So we don't need to dedicate a person to packing up orders to send them out of state. So we're going to make sure that we have the inventory that we have here to take care of the people that come through.
Well, we have fully jumped into hiking, fishing, and camping season, and obviously to get your supplies for that, you know, you've got that all too. And the best part is, you need the fishing gear, you go to the fishing section. You need camping gear, you go to the camping section. So really, it's pretty self-explanatory.
It is, and this last week, we started getting in the majority of our camping gear, so like all of our new Coleman products. We got a bunch of Bayou Classic, which is all those single burner fryers and those big pots. So, you know, if one of your buddies did a crawfish broil last year and you're like, man, I wish I had a pot so I could do that myself, we got them in. There's some really cool stuff on that line of product. But all of the camping, the Coglins, the, you know, LEM for meat processing, all that kind of stuff, and Traeger grills, we got all the new Traeger grills in. All that stuff's in stock now, and if you haven't been in for a while, come check it out because there are some really cool products.
You know, one of the interesting parts of the smoking world now is you have your big Traeger at home, but now you can get the tailgate size mm-hmm. and take it with you on the road.
Yeah, it's a great little option, the little Traeger Ranger. You know, it puts the pellets in there. It's got an inverter that can go right into your truck or into a generator. Pretty neat, you know, especially if you like that wood smoked flavor of stuff, and maybe you got a project up in the mountain and you want to get you know, briskets going or brats or hamburgers or whatever it is while you're working on your project, let that thing do its job, and, you know, a couple hours later come back and enjoy a good meal.
Well, if you have any questions about anything that we've talked about, you can get over here and check them out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Don't forget, go like them on Facebook. It's Rocky Mountain Discount Sports Casper. And, of course, if you're looking for a firearm or optics or anything like that, go check them out at RockyMountainSports.com.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And here we are, Bellwood Boats in Glendale, right after the first Wyoming Walleye Stampede. We're with Brian Woodward and Mitch Bowers, who run the tournament, and they're the head cheese in charge here. And guys, it was a heck of a weekend.
It really was. We had 134 boats out there. The weather was almost too nice at times. You know, for May, we're used to fishing in our rain gear and afternoon thunderstorms and sometimes snow, but Mother Nature was awfully good to us today.
That's the nicest one I think we've had in 17 years for sure.
It really was interesting because the first day, and this happens a lot in the tournaments, the guys will have a good day one time and then the next day is a totally different obvious turnaround. Mm-hmm. The first day, over 36 pounds. I mean, that's just nuts.
Yeah, you know, and everybody, you know, looks at all these big old fancy boats running across the lake, and the guys that were in first place were actually in our poor boys division. They've got an older boat with a less horsepower engine on it, and they just fished, you know. I mean, so a lot of times, you know, a lot of guys think that they can't compete because they don't have a fancy boat. But, you know, if you got something that floats and can tool you around the lake, you've got a chance.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest basket. That was the biggest basket. 36 pounds was the biggest basket of the weekend, and those guys have to be, what, close to the youngest, if not the youngest?
as well. They've got to be under 30. Yeah, I mean, 25-ish somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. I don't know exactly, but you know, they just grinded it out, and they had a little bit of pressure on their spot this morning, and by noon they didn't have a fish, a weighable fish. They had a bunch of catfish and a bunch of 14-inch walleyes move into their spot, and they decided to make the run and go figure out something else, go to plan B. And unfortunately for them, plan B didn't work out as well. They only had two fish today, which dropped them into third place overall. But great, guys. They've got a YouTube channel, I think, called Wild West Adventures. They actually had showed us a video that they're posting on YouTube of a 30-incher that they had the hook set on and got into the boat. Kind of exciting to watch that. So give them a little plug on YouTube if you can. But it was overall really, I mean, it was a tough bite for some. Some areas of the lake, maybe a little more productive. Maybe fish were a little more active. But the guys that just grinded it out, you know, I mean, whether it was a plastic bite or jerk baits or running a minnow, we saw a lot. Those are probably the primary presentations that we saw out there.
One of the things that I love about this format is you don't, like Brian said, you don't have to have that great boat. You don't have to put a whole lot of money into it. And you could win on day two if you have a poor day one. So really, it really goes to show that everybody puts their pants on the same way. They cast it out the same way. And what you do with it then is, well, that's up to you. You know, some of the heavy hitters finished way down low, you know, and they just had a bad day.
You know, we had a team that won two of our events last year. And I think they made the front page, but, you know, they struggled over the weekend. So, you know, it can be anybody's game at any given time. And, you know, don't come out here thinking that, you know, you're competing against a bunch of pros, because we're really just a bunch of fishermen. And, you know, there's nobody here making a living doing this. And the camaraderie really was great. You know, we had a lot of people that were fishing fairly close to each other. And we had guys that were cheering that first place team on. We don't post the names of the top 20 people, but everybody was cheering on that top team, regardless of, you know, who it was.
And, you know, the team that won, father and son, Lee and Anthony, they've been here 5 years. We're going to talk to them in just a few minutes. And you could see on their face how excited they were. But, again, they're just guys that come out and fish. They just like to fish with each other.
Oh, man, and they've been close, I think, a couple of times. You know, this morning I think Brian even said to, I think it was Lee, they had a pretty decent weight yesterday. And he kind of said it was luck, you know, and Brian said, no, you guys are good. You're good. And I think they had one kicker fish that put him in the second heaviest basket of the weekend. It was 25.4 pounds. And they were consistent. You know, if you look at the top 10, 15 teams, that's consistent weights and a handful of kicker fish, that one bigger fish that puts you up to the 20, 24 pounds that really sealed the deal for them.
You know, one thing that people may not understand is you guys pay out big payouts. It was $10,000 for first place here. So when you pay that entry fee, I mean, 26 places get money back at least.
Yeah, and that's kind of been our philosophy all along. You know, we're really a kind of a grassroots tournament where we're really trying to promote, you know, local teams to be able to get in with an entry fee that's not too outrageous. But we want to be able to pay people back, you know, and we really want to take care of those top 10 teams, because I think that's something special. But the guy in 26th place, you know, out of 130 boats, you know, they're grinding it out, you know. And so, you know, the 22nd through 26th place, you know, they got their money back. So they basically got a fish for free. You know, they would have had the same expenses if they were out here fishing. They would have had fuel and bait and that type of stuff. But, yeah, when first place, you know, in $10,000 check – it's pretty special. You know, we get the Happy Gilmore check, you know, and you get to put that in the garage or wherever your wife will let you. And don't take it to the bank. But to be able to look back and have that memory of, you know, especially with Lee and Anthony, you know, they're Wheatland guys, you know, and father and son team. And they're going to be able to look back and go, man, we grinded that out. We caught consistent fish, and we had a great weekend. And, you know, that's going to be a memory for a lifetime.
So for the first time in a while, or if ever, you guys had the whole weekend of festivities here at Bellwood Boats. And yeah, Skeeter Boats and Bellwood, they've been a big sponsors of yours for years now.
I think they've been a sponsor since we started, and they just kept getting bigger and bigger. When Bellwood brought Skeeter Boats on board, they stepped in right away, and it's been fantastic. Skeeter jumped in, championship sponsor, helped seed that championship pot with $5,000 additional to pay out for the top 60 teams at the end of the year. And I think...
And on top of that, we're paying $1,000 for the top placing Skeeter at each one of the qualifiers, and I believe an additional $3,000 at the championship.
Yep.
So really, if these anglers are riding around in Skeeters, like, there's a chance they're winning big money if they're winning the championship or the big grand prize, even in the qualifying events.
Yeah, if they bought a boat the last 3 years, I think the winners would have walked away additional $10,000 from Skeeter for their contingency plan program that they got.
That's so awesome. And so many people step up. You know, a lot of the anglers are guys that sponsor the day pots and the different, you know, categories where people put extra money in and can win extra money. And I know there were guys out here that won that didn't finish in the top 26, but they walked away with more than their entry fee.
Yeah, we did some day money. So if they had a bad first day, they could always, you know, be competing for second day money. Which, you know, is kind of great because, you know, sometimes you're just like, you just had a bad day. And now you're like, we're going to go to plan B, and plan B works out. And you're like, well, we should have done plan B on day one. But so we've got day money. We've got shootouts that are sponsor driven, $200 a pop, where that's just a head to head competition on day one. And then the division sponsors, you know, whether it's a poor boys, a family division, Young Guns, and the dinosaur division. So we've got four divisions that it's kind of a subcategory for the it doesn't come out of the main pot. It's all sponsor driven money, and it gives a kind of a subset of, you know, instead of competing against 134 teams, you're only competing against maybe 20.
So one of the things that I talked to a lot of the anglers that I talk to here is they always say, man, this is one of the best walleye events I've ever been to, you know, because annual, this is year 17, so that means you guys have been doing this for 17, and each year it gets bigger, gets bigger and bigger, and there are people that travel from all over the country to come play.
Yeah, you know, we when we started this 17 years ago, we had a vision of, you know, trying to continue to build and continue to create some camaraderie that people would want to continue to fish. And I think we've done that, you know, with the help of a lot of good sponsors. That's definitely played a part. But we've also, you know, we're pretty transparent about what we do. You know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes occasionally, and I think the way we handle those mistakes, you know, kind of helps clarify. But in terms of the format and how and the help that we have and the people on the water, I think that, you know, it's one of the best formats out there. You know, there's a lot of misconception. You know, the public sees, you know, a lot of boats all lined up across the lake, and they're like, oh my gosh, there goes 134 boats that are going to kill all these fish. Well, this is a catch and release tournament, and a lot of people don't understand that. And all we do is we put fish in a live well, leave them in there for up to 2 hours. We take them to a weigh station. We measure those fish. We're not stuffing weights in them. You don't have that negative, you know, connotation that some of these other programs have had out there. And we put those fish back. And so there's really zero negative, impact on the reservoir. You know, if we weren't running an organized tournament, more than half of these guys are going to be out here fishing anyways, because Glendo is a fantastic fishery.
And, you know, the fact that Glendo itself gets a lot out of this. There's 135 boats. That's over 270 people that are coming in and out of town. They're filling up. They're going into the restaurants. I mean, that's a huge impact.
Yeah, and this tournament, Doc over at the Trading Post brought his food trailer over and partnered up with Bellwood Boats, and he served a meal on Friday night. He had the trailer there again tonight, sending guys home on a full stomach for those guys that were driving some distance. And then, you know, we've got Frontier, you know, they had a packed house for a couple nights. The VRBOs and Airbnbs and the hotels and motels and the gas station here. I mean, I think everybody can see the economic value of having these events here. And, you know, we've talked with the state parks for a number of years, and they said, man, We love it when you guys come here. You know, we're selling park passes, we're selling camping spots. Your guys are early to rise and early to bed. You know, the worst case scenario is we might have a generator going on too late because the guy wants to keep a battery charged on his boat. And It's just a neat environment where, you know, you come off the water and you talk to the campground next to you and you're like, well, how'd you guys do today? And, you know, where'd you catch fish and how were you catching them? And pretty soon you get some friendships. Pretty soon they're out there playing horseshoes or cornhole and I don't know. We've met some great people and I appreciate it, every relationship I have with all these anglers.
Yep, and I think that goes a long ways for it. You know, you got father, sons. I think the second place team, Dale and Taylor, is it son-in-law, yep. Grandson, son-in-law?
Son-in-law.
Yep. And I think they just speak volumes. I think the kind of people that fish our circuit and the people that we bring and draw in, you know, our customers are the, as Brian said, the economic impact. Our customers are the customers of all of the businesses in this town, and there's some really good people and really good friendships that are made.
I really love that there are not many people that have friendships for 5 years, but 17 years. Some of these guys get together 4 times a year, and, you know, it's like a good old family reunion. And, again, 17 years in the making.
Well, and some of these anglers, you know, do use it as a reunion. We've got, you know, one team where his brother comes out from Wisconsin every year. We had some people from Iowa this year. We've had people from Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Colorado. I mean, we've got people coming from all over that maybe it was an old high school or college buddy, you know, or maybe they, you know, met each other at a tournament, you know, years back. And, you know, there's a good group of people that, you know, are all staying together. And because, you know, one guy's got a cabin here in town or he's got a camper and they're just making it work and they're just having a good time. You know, it's one of those things where very, very rarely can you, you know, get involved with a program or an organization, a sport that gets you in the outdoors, mm-hmm. and you're really competing against the fish. You know, I mean, you are competing against the anglers too, but, you know, it's like elk hunting. You know, you're looking for the big ones. You're trying to figure out their patterns, when they're going to feed, you know, where they're at, when they're going to lay down, when they're not going to move. It's a challenge, and it's just, you know, it turns out just it's a lot of fun.
So we have a few left. Now, the next one is the Governor's Cup, and that is full. But then there is one more event before the championship. When is that, Mitch?
That one's the June 28th, 29th, I think it is, at Pathfinder. That's our third one. That's our qualifier. Yep. Unfortunately, you got to fish all three events to get into our championship. But the Pathfinder, I think what are we up to now? 80 teams at least?
No, we're about 100.
Yeah, 100 teams at Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we'll have plenty of water there. You know, I think there's a little bit of snow that we got, but mm-hmm. but I think the waters maybe – we'll see what happens with it. But I think 100 teams at Pathfinder, I think the fishery, it's still decent. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been low-number quality fish the last couple of years, but there's still plenty of fish in there. And I think that one actually could be a really good tournament.
And if maybe you haven't ever thought about getting into it, it's not close, not too far from Casper. If you're in Casper or Laramie or, you know, Rawlins, mm-hmm. anywhere, it's not too far to get to. But then the Gov Cup, it'll be the second one. And this is a cool deal. And last year, the winner, Joe Rangel and his partner Keith, mm-hmm. you gave them Super Bowl rings on Friday night. I mean, it's pretty cool, like the way this gets built up, and it's fun.
Yeah, they got the team of the year. They got jackets, not team of the year, but they got jackets for winning that tournament. They get to represent the following year. Their name went on a traveling trophy that's down here at Bellwood Boats, so they're the first winners on that. So pretty special. And the Super Bowl rings are just way cool.
Yeah, they very are. And you want to find out more, go to Wyoming Walleye Stampede on Facebook or the website and find out more.
You know, I would like to put a shout out there to the governor. We would love to have you attend. And, you know, this is a great event. It brings a lot of money to the community. I think it's a great opportunity for you to interact with a bunch of outdoorsmen. And I would love to have you come out. I'd love to offer to put you in one of the maybe even last year's champions boat to do a little pre-fishing on a Friday and kind of experience and see what it's all about. Join us on a wayboat for a half a day. Watch the launch. It's a pretty cool experience, and I think it's something everybody should see. And we would love to have the governor here.
I think that'd be a pretty good finishing touch to that one. That'd be good.
The governor at the Governor's Cup. Will it happen, Governor Gordon? It's in your court.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
We're back at Bellwood Boats in Glendale right after the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, and we have the champions, the winners, with a day one total of 19.73 pounds. And a day two total of 25.42, very consistent, and having a better second day, a total of 45.15 pounds, which is, just under 4 pounds more than second place. Father and son duo that has fished this tournament and this stretch of tournaments for quite a little while, and Lee and Anthony Apodaca from Wheatland, picking up the big win. And you guys have fished this tournament for quite a while together, haven't you?
This is like our fourth or fifth year.
Fifth year?
Fishing this tournament.
Is this the first time that you guys have been crowned champions?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it's real exciting. Yeah, real exciting, yeah.
Now, when we were talking a few minutes ago, you had talked about fishing pre-week, kind of get geared up for the weekend, and it really wasn't that good, but you saved it all for the weekend, it sounds like.
You got a little lucky here on day two, actually.
You guys go out, what's your plan, Anthony? When you're going together, are you, like, focused on one area, or are you just kind of feeling the bite?
No, we're mostly out just trying to eliminate water. We're not looking for necessarily a spot we're going to fish in the tournament, but we're looking for spots that we're not going to fish.
Right, so you're just in process of elimination then, right?
Correct, yes.
So I know that when somebody finds out that other people are catching good fish, then everybody goes to that area. Lee, did you guys find a place and avoid crowds?
Oh, we always do that. If we find a place we really want to fish, we won't even fish it for days or a week even. And we just come back and hope it's there.
Just to kind of keep people out of your hole, right?
Right. Well, that and we don't want to blow it up either, I guess. So.
Yeah, right? So, obviously, this is the first one. Are you going to fish the next three and get into the championship?
No, we're going to miss the next one. My sister's actually getting married, so we're going to be gone for that one.
But you're still going to come back and fish the last one?
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, I mean, you guys got great trophies. You got some cool Happy Gilmore checks. Yeah. Pretty good way to win your first tournament, isn't it, Lee?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Great. We never thought we could do it, actually. Yeah.
You guys, like I said, 5 years now that you've been doing this. I've seen you for the last 4 years. So you guys are always happy. You're always fun. And, I mean, that's a part of it. You got to have that positive attitude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and this organization that Brian puts together is, great. Can't complain about anything.
Well, you're not going to be in the next one, but the next one you are, and that'll be at a different reservoir. So are you guys already starting to think about where you're not going to fish, Lee?
Well, maybe not that far ahead, but we'll get there and try to fish as much as we can there starting here soon.
Very soon. All right. Well, guys, congratulations on your first championship. Many more to come, I'm sure, and you guys have always been very pleasant to be around. So thanks, you guys, for being part of the Stampede.
You bet. Well, thank you.
Lee and Anthony Apodaca, again, winners of the first Glendale Wyoming Walleye Stampede presented by Bellwood Boats for 2025, a total of 45.15 pounds. That is going to do it for this show. We've got a lot coming up over the next couple of weeks, and we'll get y'all caught up on the second ever Governor's Cup, which is coming up in a couple of weeks at Glendale.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.